Disciples making disciples. The Gospel Commission goes with the injunction to go and make disciples. Where does that process begin? For Probe, I'm Larry Bevirka, and I want to welcome my conversation partners, Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology, and Aline Bauer, who has joined us in the School of Theology as a guest lecturer.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us, Larry.
For those of us who place a high value on our personal relationship with Jesus, conversion of our children and the transmission of the spiritual values of our faith are very important to us as parents. So how do we pass this on to the next generation? Is religious faith something that can be taught, or must it somehow be caught?
I would say both.
You know, I would agree with you, Larry, that it's a very important issue, and it's one that I think makes the parental heart tremble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with Aline that it's not, I don't think that this is an easy subject to see accomplished. I think you have to approach it at different ways in different times. I think, for example, that when your children are very small, you kind of give them a religious structure. But eventually that has to change, and you have to then engage them in dialogue, and you finally have to leave them to create their own belief structure. Hopefully, you know, the longing of every parental heart is that that belief structure will be identical or very close to mine or yours. But the fact is that I think this thing goes through stages, and there are so many occasions where you as a parent can go wrong. It's scary.
Yeah. But I think it is also important for parents to realize that it must become the child's own at some point, and that can be a scary time for the parent. But if it doesn't, if they don't take it out and examine it, then it's not valuable to them.
Yeah, but also I think that they don't end up being guided by a belief system. I think that you have to build your own belief system in a way that you believe has integrity if you're going to be guided by it.
Yeah. So. You know, I mentioned, I think it was last week, Larry, about how I took my role as a new mother so seriously, and I think that I felt like I was teaching all of the right things, but it wasn't being caught because the joy was missing in my life. And so that's where I would say you can be telling them all the right things, but if your life doesn't demonstrate that it makes a difference and that there's joy there and something worth having, then I think all the teaching amounts to nothing.
Well, it amounts to nothing more than the conveying of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is still some value to it. But, you know, I like what the president of Walla Walla said about a year or so ago when he was teaching something. He said that this has to touch the head and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you touch only the heart, then who knows where it will go. If you touch only the head, it's like a mm-hmm. desert land. It can be like a desert, mm-hmm. see. And so, but what do you think about this, Larry?
Well,
you're a wise man.
Speaking of the president of the college, I'll never forget the testimony of his son, who said the effect of knowing that at the beginning of every day his father was spending personal time in prayer, conversation with God, had a profound effect upon his own life and his rearing in that home.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that our parents are praying persons who take very seriously their walk with Jesus, that's the part, I suppose, that you can't necessarily instruct, but it's the part that has to be somehow caught as a vision by our kids.
I'll just add something there, and that is, we had a daughter who became very ill, and ended up needing not one but two liver transplants. And it was at a time in her life when we had prayed for a number of years that she would be made well. And it seemed that God said no to everything. And it was a very discouraging time for her, and she really began to doubt God. And after the process, and sometime later, she came to my husband and me and said, "The only thing that really got me through was to see you and Dad kneeling by your bed at night praying. Because I said to myself, if they can still believe in a God who is allowing this to happen to their child, there must be something to that God."
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know that we realize, and I wasn't aware that she was even observing that at the time. But that's important, what we do, I think.
Yeah, and kids only have to see that once or twice mm-hmm. to know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm Roger Dudley, in his book, Why Teenagers Reject Religion and What to Do About It, focuses on a very tempestuous time in the developmental process, and particularly as it relates to the development of values, spiritual values, and one's own faith commitments. He contrasts an autocratic, authoritarian style with a more democratic leadership style, and encourages us to take seriously the matter of choice and make adjustments in the way we deal with our kids. And yet, you know, it's so convenient and efficient in the short term to just demand obedience because we say so. You know, all this explanation ad infinitum stuff. And then I think of Jesus and his teaching as one who spoke with authority. And how do we do this? How can we sort of model or embrace what we see Jesus doing without being authoritarian?
Or does it depend on the child? Do you need to be more authoritarian with one child than you don't with another? I mean, we all have more than one child. Yeah. I'm sure we've seen differences in how they respond.
Are you referring to Dobson's strong-willed child,
yeah,
perhaps?
I've had one of those.
It's very interesting because we notice with our children that treating them the same way produced radically different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I remember one in particular that if he got a spanking, he would get mad. And he didn't get spanked hardly at all, but, I mean, on the few occasions he would get very angry. But if you send him to his room, he became very repentant when he was sent off by himself.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, if you put him in his room, he was fine. He didn't mind at all.
That was kind of a blessing.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I think that's a good point, and that is different children have different personalities and require a kind of flexibility and ability on our part to meet them at the point of their needs.
Yeah, and I know a young man, I haven't seen him in a long time, but when he was in his teenage years, he was very rebellious and rambunctious, and his father was highly authoritarian. But in his particular case, his father was able to maintain that authoritarian structure until this kid turned about 19 or 20. And then at that point, on his own, the child began to realize that all the things that his father believed were not crazy, but nearly broke the father and the child of the authoritarian structure. So they ended up being very good friends and talking a lot. But
it doesn't always happen that way either.
No, no, no,
a lot of
no.
times the authoritarian parent can reap very lonely results later on in life because of that.
Yeah, and actually one of the surprises of my adult life was to discover that authoritarian behavior is the most likely to produce rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that dynamic very clearly.
Yeah, I attended a lecture by a guest in a Graham Maxwell class, and the man was a clinical psychologist who was treating a number of the adolescents from professional families around the university and medical center. And he shared with us that his observation was that we as Adventist families produced a kind of virulent rebelliousness in our kids that he just simply didn't see anywhere else. And as he reflected on that, he said, you know, I'm from a Jewish background, so I understand what it means to wish to transmit your particular way of doing things in your life and lifestyle to your kids, and how that's important as a sense of community. But he says, you know, I think I've figured out what is different, because if one of our Jewish kids has a problem with what it is that we're trying to teach, they're still Jewish. I mean, they may not follow what it is that we're trying to train or teach, and they may choose their own way, but they're still Jewish. That doesn't change. But he says, with you folk, it's like their place in the family is at risk or at stake in some way.
Wow.
And what you are demanding is that you either conform or you lose your place in the family. And he says, when you do that, you back your kids up against the wall in which they then act out in ways that are totally irrational. And I wonder, that's kind of frightening, isn't it, that we might be doing a kind of fratricide with our kids when we insist on certain behaviors.
Yeah, and I think one of the most powerful things we can do is not only demonstrate what we hold dear in our living, but explain the reasons for it. That I think that for children to discover why you do something is almost as important as seeing you do it.
I took the posture that my work as a parent was essentially done when my girls were age 16, and that they would be making their own choices, and I would be an advisor, a facilitator, or one who would help them process what they were choosing to do. That worked for me and for my kids, and I thought that autonomy, they took that autonomy and I think did very responsibly in shaping and making their own choices. So the challenges of discipling our own children, a disciple is one who is a willing follower, who chooses to do the right because that's the right and sensible thing to do. That's what we would wish to convey, and that's what we, I think, as parents, lift to the Lord every day in our prayers for our kids. Well, thank you for thinking together about this process of teaching and training, instructing, modeling for our kids the values that we hold dear as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And I want to thank again Dave Thomas and Aline Bauer for their participation in our discussion, and for Susan Michael as our engineer. I'm Larry Viverka for Probe.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.